Psalm 119, and look at verse number 12. We're really going to use this verse as a springboard into a series that we'll have for the next, 8 to plus weeks. I'll just mention it that way, and we'll see how long it goes, but at least we'll spend a couple of months with this thought, and we'll use this verse as a springboard verse into the series, and we'll be in a number of passages of Scripture within the book of Psalms this evening, and so have your fingers ready to turn back and forth through some of these Psalms, and the verse of Scripture, verse number 12, notice what the Bible says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord," and then there's this statement, "teach me thy statutes." Teach me thy statutes. And I want to focus on those first two words there, teach me. And as we think about this simple request that the psalmist is really, it's an oft-repeated request through the book of Psalms, and we'll mention and reference several of those this evening. That's why we'll go through a number of these passages of Scripture. And though it's a simple, oft-repeated request, I believe that you will note that there is great depth to the request that is before us. And I believe that this request that is before us is really worth our examination. Over the next several weeks, and as I mentioned, it's probably going to be several months as we go through it, but we're going to consider this simple request of the psalmist and its impact, not only as we look at the psalmist making this request and making this declared request to the Lord, teach me, but as we would identify with the psalmist and we also would say, Lord, teach me, teach me. And we'd understand as we look over these next several lessons and we would make this same request, we would make the psalmist request our request. And immediately, as we note in this verse of Scripture, in verse number 12 here in Psalm 119, you will understand and you will note the personal nature of the request, right? Teach me. It's personal. No doubt, I believe that it's appropriate and it's commendable for us to desire that God would teach our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we would have a desire, in fact, that we would pray one for another, that we would learn and grow and that we would mature in Christ. But as we note the phraseology and the request that is before us this evening that will be the focus of our study for the next several months, I want you to understand that as we look at this, that the personal nature is something that we must acknowledge and we must take heart to and understand really not in a selfish way, in any way, shape, or form, but really the idea of drawing a circle around ourselves and saying, Lord, teach me. Teach me, Lord. And as we note and we pause at this request and we understand what is being said here and we will look at these verses of Scripture, I believe this evening that we will be confronted with a request from the psalmist that is commendable. Man, that he would say so often, Lord, teach me, teach me, teach me. And as we look at this, turn back to Psalm 25, and we're going to just kind of walk through each of these verses of Scripture. We're not going to make many comments about them, for they will serve as future studies over this series. But I want you to notice in Psalm 25, where the Bible tells us in verse number 4, in Psalm 25 in verse number 4, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths." Notice verse number 5, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Note, and if you will, in Psalm 27, a couple of pages over, perhaps in your Bible, very similar to what we read in verse number 4 there of Psalm 25, but here in Psalm 27 in verse number 11, the Bible says this, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Psalm 86. Psalm chapter number 86 and verse number 11, a psalm that's attributed to David. We know that many of the psalms are attributed to David. And here he says this as he's praying in verse number 11 of Psalm 86, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." It's interesting here, and again, I'm not going to make many comments on these verses as we go through them, but he says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and then notice what he says, I will walk in thy truth. The purpose of being taught, the purpose of learning is to apply it. Teach me, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Notice in Psalm 143, in verse number 10, in Psalm 143, in verse number 10, and then we're going to go back to Psalm 119, but notice in Psalm 143, in verse number 10, the Bible says this, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good, lead me into the land of uprightness. Aren't you thankful that he's your God? Notice what the psalmist says there in verse number 10 of Psalm 143. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. When I understand who he is, when I understand that, yes, he is the God of the universe, he is the Lord God Almighty, he is Jehovah, but he's my God. And the psalmist says, understanding that relationship, teach me to do thy will. Man, when he's my God, I ought to desire to do his will, and I need to be taught what his will is. Notice back in Psalm 119, in Psalm 119, it's interesting, for in Psalm 119, there are 9 times in this psalm that the reference teach me is given. Now we understand in Psalm 119, the main thought of this particular psalm is the Word of God. Psalm 119, thy testimonies, thy statutes, thy judgments, and you can read thy Word. All of the references that are given in Psalm 119, all referring to the Word of God. And I'm so thankful for the Word of God. And on a number of these verses that we'll look at here in Psalm 119, you will note that he says, teach me thy statutes, even as we note it in verse number 12. Look at verse number 26, and we'll just kind of go through these quickly. In verse 26, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Verse number 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Verse number 64, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Verse number 68, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Skip down to verse 108. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. The final two here in Psalm 119, verse number 124, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. And then finally we see in verse number 135, make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Would you not, I mean, it seems quite obvious, you'd agree with me this evening, no doubt, that the psalmist has a genuine, sincere desire to be taught. Amen? He says repeatedly, teach me, here in Psalm 119, repeatedly, teach me thy statutes, teach me thy word. We could use that same phraseology and understanding that that's what he's referring to. And as we look at the prayer of the psalmist, we would say that really what is revealed through this prayer is in fact a sincere desire to be taught. I do not believe that the psalmist is saying, teach me in some form of flattery and trying to flatter the Lord that I want to be taught of thee. No, there are times, no doubt, in our lives that we have perhaps been experienced this firsthand, or we've heard of someone that has, where someone does something exceptionally well. Whether it's some type of craft, whether it's playing an instrument, whatever it might be, they do it exceptionally well. And someone might say, hey, can you teach me to do that? And really what they're trying to do is flatter you because of your ability, and they really have no interest in learning. But the reality is that when I look at the psalmist and I hear the oft-repeated desire of the psalmist, it's a genuine, sincere plea to God, teach me. And I believe this evening, and as we have this message tonight, is really an introductory to this midweek really series, mini-series, if you will, that we'll have over the next several months, I would like to say this, that we too need to have that same sincere desire to be taught of the Lord. That we would say to the Lord daily, Lord, teach me. Teach me, Lord. And when we see the desire of the psalmist and we're made aware of that, we then examine ourselves and say, do I have that same desire? Do I have the sincere desire? Do I daily meet with the Lord for the purpose of Him teaching me so that I could learn His ways and His judgments, His statutes, His will? Am I seeking, am I desiring this teaching? Not only do I believe that it reveals to us this sincere desire on the part of the psalmist to be taught, but I believe it also reveals to us a legitimate need to be taught. The psalmist was recognizing a desire, yes, but coupled with that desire was a need. He needed to learn. He had a need to learn the Word of God. He had a need to learn the will of God. He had a need to learn the way of the Lord. And he understood that. He acknowledged that. He desired it. But this need is obvious to us as we look at this passage or these passages of Scripture. And I would say this tonight, the reality is that every one of us need to be instructed. Amen? There's some area in my life, there's some area in your life, I would go out on the limb, so to speak, and say there are many areas in our lives that we need to be taught, we need to be instructed. And as we consider this evening, this thought of teach me and having this sincere desire to be taught, it is the result of that need. And as we look at the passages of Scripture that we've examined this evening, very briefly of just going through each of them, we have noted that the psalmist is understanding through his request, it seems obvious that he's recognizing that it is the Lord God who is the teacher. And I'm excited about that. I'm thankful for that because who better to teach us than the omnipotent God, the omniscient God, the God who knows everything, the God who created us. He is our teacher. In John 16, if you take a moment to turn over there, and we'll look at this passage of Scripture, and I want you to be mindful of what's happening here in John 16. Of course, Jesus would soon, just on the eve of going to the cross of Calvary to pay for the sin of mankind, but He's revealing in these portions of Scripture here in this middle section of the book of John, in these few chapters, He is providing the disciples with some instruction with regard to His departure. And one of the precious truths that are revealed in these pages of Scripture, in these chapters of the book of John, is in regard to the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter. And Jesus tells the disciples that it was necessary for Him to depart and that He was going to go to the cross, but He says that it was expedient for them that He go. Why? Because He would send the Comforter. He would send the Holy Spirit of God. I'm so thankful this evening that we live in the time in which we do and we have the truth of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit takes residence within the life of every believer. And we understand the Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, therefore, we're to glorify God in our body and our souls. Why? Because we're His. And we find that it is, the Lord tells us in Ephesians that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our salvation, and He seals us unto the day of redemption. We think about the Holy Spirit of God, there are many ministries, if you will, of the Holy Spirit of God, but one in which we'll deal with tonight with dealing with this subject matter of teaching is really given to us here in John 16 in verse number 13. Pick it up with me in verse number 7. Notice what He says. I mentioned this in passing a moment ago. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. several things are given with regard to the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. I often pray a portion of these verses of Scripture, as we have on Sunday mornings and invitations, and this is really with dealing with His role in convicting lost people of their need for salvation. Notice in verses 8 through 11, the Bible says, "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on Me, of righteousness because I go to My Father and ye see Me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged." But then notice He says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." And then notice what He says in verse number 13. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come," notice this phrase, "He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you." And so I want you to notice the phrase in verse number 13, "guide you into all truth." He is the Spirit of truth, one of the names that is given to the Holy Spirit of God. And then in verse number 15, it says that He shall show it unto you. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God is the divine teacher. And I'm thankful that when we have this this mini-series over the next several weeks and perhaps months, as we go through a variety of subjects and deal with this matter that is before us, and having that same level of desire that the psalmist has, that we say, "Lord, teach me," that we have the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us, who is the divine teacher, and He is capable of teaching us truth. I'm thankful for that. No doubt there's times in your life, there's times in my life, and you'll say, "No, that's not true." It is true. There are times when I go to the Word of God and I read a portion of Scripture and I say, "I'm really not sure what that means." So what do we do? Just say, "Well, oh well, I just don't understand." We just kind of move on. No. Lord, teach me. Illumine me. Show me from Thy Word. Teach me. Lord, You gave the Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? The Bible tells us that holy men of God, they spake as the Holy Ghost was moved upon them. And we find that He's given us the truth, but the Holy Spirit's also the teacher. So I say, "Lord, teach me. Teach me Thy Word. Teach me Thy statutes. Teach me Thy will. Teach me, Lord. Show me." And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God, the author of the Word of God, is also the teacher of the Word of God. You know what I find in my life? There are times in which He'll teach me quickly. There are other times in which it's a longer lesson. It's a process. The answer isn't just on the surface, so to speak. You got to dig in, and the Holy Spirit of God is teaching, and He's moving, and He's working. And we find that as we look at this subject matter of teach me, and we desire this evening to make the desire of the psalmist, we desire to make that our desire, and that we draw that circle around ourselves and say, "Teach me, teach me." Really, as we go over this, and again, it's a very introductory lesson this evening, and really setting the groundwork for proving this desire of the psalmist, and really noting that it is a commendable desire, and it's something that we too should desire. But let me say this, just having a desire to be taught doesn't mean that you're going to be taught. We can say, "Teach me," all day, right? We can say to somebody, I've said to Holly, she plays the piano, I don't. In fact, we were talking last night on the way home from Brianna's basketball game, and there was a question that came up about staccato notes. How many of you even know what staccato notes are? Some of you say, "I have no idea what you're talking about," right? And there was a question that came up about staccato notes, and one of the children answered and said, "Well, you know, I have siblings, and I have a mom that plays the piano," and so on and so forth, and they had a certain knowledge of it. And I said, "Hey, what about me?" And they just kind of laughed, and we just joked about it. I've said to Holly many times over the years, "Would you teach me to play the piano?" We've been married for 20 and a half years. I can't do a whole lot on the piano. You know why? It's one thing to say, "Would you teach me how to play the piano?" But it's a whole nother thing to actually sit down and put in the effort and put in the time to be taught how to play the piano. right? It's not an easy thing. I'd love to be able to sit down and play. I'm not interested in putting the work in. It's just the way it is. Now, I wish I would. I just don't have the time at this point in my life to do that. But the reality is that when we say, teach me, if someone has a skill, if someone has a talent, and they're very capable in a particular area, and say, hey, would you teach me how to do that? And maybe you're willing to teach, but they never seem to actually put any effort into learning. Right? So it's not just that we walk around and say, yes, teach me, Lord. But what do we do? What does that mean? What does that look like in our lives? And so a few things, and I'm going to just going to give you this evening kind of the outline for the next several weeks of study and kind of whet our appetite, if you will. I believe, listen, it's a wonderful thing to be taught of the Lord. Listen, God desires to teach His people. Amen? He's given His book. If you think about the truth of the Word of God, in fact, let me read this verse to you. Deuteronomy 31, turn over there if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 31. I want you to notice what is said here in this passage of Scripture. As you know, really, there's some charges that are given here at the end of the book of Deuteronomy. God's people are getting ready to enter into the land of promise. You understand that Moses would soon die. The record is given of his death here in just a few chapters. And you find that Joshua has been commissioned to be the next human leader of the nation of Israel. But we find in chapter 31, interesting verse of Scripture here in verse number 12. Notice what the Bible says, jumping kind of right in the middle of this text. But I want you to see what the Bible says. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates. Notice what it says, that they may hear, and that they may, what? Learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. God desires that His people would learn His way. God desires that His people would learn His truth. He's given us His truth. He's provided it. He's instructed the people of old. As you would look at the Old Testament, you'd look at the prophets and the responsibility to teach the Word of God to the people of God so that they would apply it and do it. You find that in the New Testament, as He's put in place, that there would be pastors and teachers, and that we are to feed the flock of God and teach and preach the Word of God. God desires for us to learn. He desires to teach us. We're going to answer several questions over the next several weeks, and I hope to be very super practical. This is a super practical series that I hope that will be very helpful, not only for me personally, but for each of you as we spend time here in this subject matter for the next several weeks ahead. We're going to answer this question next week. What is the purpose of being taught? What's the purpose? Why is the psalmist say, teach me? Why does he want to learn? What's the purpose? Is it just so that we can have this wealth of knowledge? Is it so that we can, show off how much we know? Is that the purpose? We'll answer the question. Answer this question. How can I develop a teachable spirit? What are some things that I can do? What are some things that you can do to help develop in us a teachable spirit? Have you ever tried to teach somebody that wasn't teachable? Have you ever had somebody try to teach you and you weren't teachable? How many of you love it when you're trying to teach somebody and they just keep saying, I know, I know, I know, I know. Well, then why am I here, right? Is that what you not? That's what you want to say, right? Why are you wasting my time if you already know? Why did you ask me, right? And I understand we'd never say that, right? We just think it, right? Seriously. But how do I develop a teachable spirit? How can I think about this? We'll actually probably spend a couple of weeks answering this question. How can I promote or improve learning in my life? What are some things I can do, not only to have a teachable spirit, but how can I promote learning in my life? How can I improve learning in my life? And look at a number of things. You know, people learn different ways, right? How many of you know the most effective way for you personally to learn something? You know you, and you know the most effective way to learn. Some people are like, I don't even know what you're talking about. No, there are different ways of learning. Some people learn, you know, they say, listen, you gotta show me how to do it, right? You've had hands-on learners, right? And there's a number of different things that we can do to improve and to promote learning in our lives. We're going to answer this question. What specifically should I desire to learn? We look at all those references that we looked at this evening. There were some very specific things that the psalmist desired to learn from God. The one that was most recurring was teach me thy statutes. And of course, that's a very broad statement and obviously something that we ought to desire to know the word of God, the statutes of the Lord. But you know, there's also some statements within the word of God of teach us. We dealt with last year, probably the most familiar one we think of teach us to pray. Remember the disciples said to the Lord, teach us to pray. That wasn't a singular request, teach me, but it was teach us of the disciples. Manoah, he says, he prays, teach us how to order the child. That's a really good request. Amen? How do we, those that have children, man, how do we order the children? How do we teach them? How do we raise them? What do we do? What a great request. Teach us. Teach me. And so what specifically should I desire to learn? We're going to answer this question. What hinders learning? What hinders learning? There's some things that hinder learning. I would say this as a very simple truth and really a preview to two of these subjects. The best way to develop a teachable spirit is humility. The best way to hinder learning is pride. Pride totally kills learning because we know it all. Humility is key to teachable spirit. What are some ways the Lord teaches His children? God uses different methods of teaching His children. The psalmist says in Psalm 19, it was good for me that I was afflicted, for then I learned thy word. The classroom of affliction? Nope, don't want to go to that one. Sometimes God uses that one. Right? Did the disciples learn anything in trials and storms? Sure they did. Do you think Moses learned anything on the backside of the desert? Sure he did. God has different classrooms that He uses in the lives of His children and different methods of teaching us. And these are important things for us to understand and to learn and to understand God is teaching us. He's growing us. And then we'll finish up with this question and answer this. And really the question would be this, how can I measure or gauge my progress? If I'm saying, teach me, if I have this desire, I acknowledge a need, and I've expressed my desire to be taught of the Lord, and I say, Lord, teach me, and there's some specific things that I want to be taught as we look at these that have been given to us in the Word of God, teach me these things specifically. I've done what I can do to develop a teachable spirit, to promote and to improve learning in my own life. I've weeded out those things that would hinder learning. I've done all these things, but then how do I gauge or measure, am I learning? Am I making any progress? Oftentimes, and I've said this before from the pulpit, but oftentimes tests, exams, those types of things in school, and we often think about them in the context of school, are typically not greatly desired. It's exam day, it's finals, it's, you know, the test week, so on and so forth. And sometimes, man, we can just dread tests. And I understand that sometimes the approach and really maybe the mindset of testing can be really not what it ought to be, but I really feel like a test is a valuable tool to show us our progress. It reveals to us what we know. It also reveals to us what we do not know. So often what happens, and I understand it's probably a byproduct of our culture and our education system, so often we're so keened in on a GPA in school, in academics, and having this GPA and getting this certain grade and so on and so forth. But really a test is not only to reveal to us what we know, but also what we do not know. And the idea of, listen, if I come home with a test of an 80 and I've got 20% of the information I don't know, that's valuable for me to know what I need to go focus on. Right? It's a valuable thing. And sometimes we don't look at tests that way, and we don't respond perhaps to the test in the manner in which we should when we think about it from an academic perspective. But when we think about tests and we think about the proving, when God gives us, it says of the nation of Israel, if you read the book of Deuteronomy, God says that really he sent them two purposes that he gives them, that he was to humble them and to prove them. To humble them and to prove them. And listen, there are ways of being able to measure and gauge our progress. Am I learning? Again, it's not just a form of flattery that we just, well, it's the right thing to say. Yes, Lord, I want you to teach me. No, that we have that earnest, sincere desire, Lord, teach me. And I've done all of these things in order to promote and to improve learning in my life so that I might be taught of the Lord. And now let's, every once in a while, let's take an assessment. How am I doing? How's the progress? The psalmist says, excuse me, book of Philippians, Paul says this, that I may know him. The psalmist says that he knows that the Lord is great. How does he know that? Well, I'm not asking you to give me an answer to the question this evening, but the truth of the matter is that he had been giving that truth. He had learned through a number of ways, he had learned that God is great. And if we say tonight, I know that the Lord is great, we've learned that through some means. Through the written word of God, we've learned that God is great. Through the creation, we've learned that God is great. The heavens declare the glory of God, right? You go out and you see the creation, you declare God is great. We stand in awe of him. But then he says his greatness is unsearchable. We're continuing our learning. We're never going to know everything about God. It's impossible. Our finite minds could never fully comprehend God. It's just impossible. I know I've said many times over the years, as great as you think God is, he's greater. I mean, as high as you can possibly imagine in your mind at this moment, how great and how wonderful and how spectacular God is, he's greater. He's more wonderful, right? And so we're ever learning, we're desiring to learn him, to learn who he is, to learn his statutes, to learn his will, and it's all for the purpose of doing that we would apply the truth in our lives. So over the next several weeks, I'm looking forward to this series. Teach me, Lord, teach me. I pray that every single morning when I read the Word of God. There are two things that I pray my prayer is more than just two statements before I read the Word of God, but I say, Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119, verse 18. And then I say, Lord, teach me. Teach me thy word. I say, as Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I desire that God would teach me. And I hope tonight that we would all grow, myself included, in that desire. It's not to say that none of us have a desire to be taught. It's to say, let's examine the psalmist a little bit, and let's say, man, I want to make his desire my desire. Lord, teach me. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God. A simple introductory lesson this evening, but one in which I hope that you've used to kind of whet our appetites and to prepare us for the weeks ahead. Lord, that as we study the subject matter that is before us, that we'd be eager to learn, that we would be aware of our need, that we'd be purposed in our desire. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our time of prayer. We thank you that you're a God who hears and answers prayer. We ask that you'd be glorified and exalted through all that's said and done, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.